Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's a pleasure to welcome into our studios, yes, I said into our studios, the one and only, the extremely famous and talented George Marshall is here. And it's great to have him back. We've done several shows over Zoom over the last couple of years, but he's here in the flesh, so it's great to see him. Welcome back, George.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Nice to have you with us. And a special treat, this doesn't happen every day, Steven Feinberg, the man of newspaper and magazine and movies that you've heard about, is here in the flesh also. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you, Mike. A lot of flesh.
A lot of flesh. Well, it's great to have you back again also. We haven't seen each other doing a show like this since the pandemic.
It's so nice to be out in public or private and being able to share your company and George's company. It's been way, way too long, and you guys look fantastic. I love the tans you guys have going on. Beautiful.
Well, we're here tonight to talk about the Academy Awards, and we've been doing this for a while in the pre-pandemic days when we would talk about the red carpet event and Rhode Island Film Festival. Rhode Island International Film Festival is George Marshall's baby, of course. And Steven Feinberg is the executive director of the Rhode Island Film and Television Office. And since we've seen George quite a bit lately, in comparison to you, Steven, I'm going to start with you and say that you've been a busy guy.
It has been a very, very busy year, Mike.
All you had to do was snap your fingers and go hocus pocus, and things happened.
Well, I have to say, we managed to be very productive during the pandemic. It was a minefield to get through, especially the early stages of the pandemic. We were able to do the new HBO series, The Gilded Age, season one, that is created by Julian Fellowes of Downton Abbey fame. And so we filmed that in Newport. We also were able to bring in Kara Sedgwick, who directed her husband, Kevin Bacon, in a movie called Space Oddity. And we did that primarily in Wickford, other parts of North Kingstown. I believe we also were in Warwick, Exeter. But that they were wonderful. And as a result, Kevin Bacon and his brother also played the Greenwich Odeon to a sold-out crowd. And then we had a very little movie from Disney called Hocus Pocus 2, starring Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker and Kathy Najimy, and directed by Ann Fletcher. We started that prepping in June, and that literally wrapped up last week. They were supposed to finish before Christmas, but ended up coming back for a few more weeks of filming. We filmed that in Providence, Lincoln, East Providence, Newport, throughout the state, and the
one day you were just down the street from my house on the east side of Providence. I didn't know what that was about until after the fact.
Yes, I think we were above it, flying above your house. Okay, I'm not sure. But there's a lot of excitement. The production design was out of this world. Then there's music and there's dancing and singing. And it was a treat. We had a lot of people actually came from around the country and descended upon Rhode Island to watch them film. And couldn't have been a better group. And Disney was, as always, a delight to work with.
Excellent. We have more on those subjects as we go along through the show. But we're going to get to some music shortly. George, great to have you with us. And
thank you, Mike.
Rhode Island International Film Festival has been, again, during the pandemic, having kind of difficult times, if you will, getting things, you know, in the public eye. The red carpet treatment that you had, it was very famous over the last few years, didn't happen during the pandemic. And
well, it happened, but it happened at the drive-in last year. And we were lucky that the pandemic really didn't take off until March of 2020, and we had just finished. Our very last big show was our red carpet experience, which is a celebration of the Oscars.
Right, I was
packed,
there.
Packed house. It was a beautiful evening. And then the next year, of course, our location was closed. As you know, hotels were closed. So we ended up doing it as a drive-in, as a barbecue, which was a little bit scaled down, but the people at the drive-in were amazing. That was the Rustic Tri-View drive-in up in North Smithfield.
Off 146 there, yeah.
But not the same type of experience. And this year, because we're right now transitioning from mask wearing to non-mask wearing, and our numbers are still up there. Mm-hmm. They're not as bad as they used to be. We decided that this year we take a break from it because we want to do this correctly and bring it back. And the Oscars themselves, to be blunt with you, are in transition as well. And we'll talk about that today. They're changing their rules. It affects some of the stuff that we're involved with. Plus, to be honest with you, people are just now getting back to watching movies again. And if you look at last year's crop of Oscar nominations and winners, most people never saw them.
Right.
Because they did not see them in the theater. And because you're talking platforms like Netflix, not everybody has a Netflix subscription.
Sure. And a lot of people just aren't going to theaters, obviously. So it's
right.
Hopefully that's changing quickly. Well, let's get to this first. The first segment of the show is going to be about scores, mm-hmm. movie scores, right?
Yep.
Tell us what you have for us first here. Dune, I believe?
Well, yeah, this is the original score, and the music's by Hans Zimmer. And this is just an excerpt from the film Dune, directed by Denis Villeneuve.
And Hans Zimmer was very busy this year because he did the score of No Time to Die, and he did the score of Dune. So mm-hmm. both are outstanding.
And Dune is considered actually by most aficionados of film scores to be one of Hans Zimmer's best compositions to date.
Yes.
Let's give a listen to this segment of it. Just a segment of Dune, but we're going to play segments of all four of these different pieces. Which one is next, George?
The next piece is by Germaine Franco, and it's from the Disney animated film Encanto.
And this is one of your friends, Stephen, Disney. I mean,
Disney, yes.
Your best buddies there.
Well, actually, I know a dog that was recently named Walt Disney, so you can only imagine the closeness I have.
Well, there you go. Some of these movies are very famous, and others aren't quite as famous. As a matter of fact, this next one we don't know much about.
Parallel Mothers, very obscure, with Penelope Cruz and...
Antonio Banderas.
He's in it as well?
That's right.
That's the husband and wife.
There you go.
I haven't seen the film, but obviously the score is supposed to be wonderful.
By Alberto Inglés.
All right.
Iglesias.
Iglesias?
Yes.
I stand corrected.
Alberto Iglesias.
Alberto, like Julio's brother.
Right. We don't know. I bet you there's a potential relation.
It could be. Or a cousin. Or? George wants nothing to do with this.
All I'm thinking is zoom, zoom, zoom.
All right. Let's give this piece a listen then. See, the good news about doing this program is now that we have smartphones, Stephen has gotten smart, and there is no relation between the Iglesiases.
That's true. There's no relation at all. He's from Spain. His sister is a visual effects artist, and he is the brother-in-law of the late Spanish sculptor Juan Muñoz.
Well, there you go. More than you want to know, right, George?
Absolutely.
All right, we have one time for one more before our first break, and this is called Power of the Dog.
Yeah, and it's by a composer named Johnny Greenwood. This is from the Jane Campion film with Benedict Cumberbatch. Powerful film. It's what, 12 nominations, I believe, this year. It's amazing in terms of the response that it's drawn from folks that have watched it. It's a Western that was shot in New Zealand.
Yes, it was. Yeah, Jane Campion. Australia or New Zealand? Was it
New Zealand?
Zealand?
New Zealand, yep.
Not Rhode Island.
Not Rhode Island.
No.
All right. Well,
no, well, actually, they flew in with the Sanderson sisters just to shoot this thing.
But Johnny Greenwood, he's done quite a few films. He did The Phantom Thread.
Thread, yep.
He also,
with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes, he also did... the other Daniel Day-Lewis film with the oil rigs and the, what was the name of that movie? Come on.
Sounds like, we don't know. But we'll find out, and we'll tell you when we come back. Right now, we'll listen to...
I'm not on my game, folks. I'm back in town. I just got back in town.
The Power of the Dog. Academy Awards is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, very pleased to be sitting live with George Marshall and Stephen Feinberg from the Film Office, and we're talking about the songs and the scores and different things that will be happening at the Academy Awards. And Stephen, you left a dangling thought before our break.
Yes, Mike. So Johnny Greenwood did not only Phantom Thread, but he did... what was the name of the movie? There Will Be Blood, if you remember them. There Will Be Blood, very powerful score. Uh-huh. So here he is nominated again.
Now we're going to move from scores to songs. And my question that I was going to ask you is that, are there always five songs nominated, or is it just normally what happens? Or
pretty much, yeah. I mean, what happens is in December, the Academy will announce about 15 contenders in what they call a short list. And then it's pared down normally in January, mid to late January, to five in each category. What's changed over the years, of course, is how many films are listed for Best Picture. Because it used to be five.
Yeah, everything was five.
Now it's 10 for Best.
I think there were complaints that a lot of the more popular films weren't being recognized.
Yeah. Right.
So they wanted to try to bring in the audience a little bit more, that even though the films are popular and well done, we want to recognize
and
them.
And same issue revolving around international and foreign films. Now you're seeing international and foreign films being considered for Best Picture instead of Best International Picture. Reason is the Academy broadcasts worldwide.
Mm-hmm. In the BAFTA, they call the foreign films non-English mm-hmm. speaking films.
That's right.
Well, it's interesting because the Academy has is one of those organizations that's not without controversy, right?
Right.
There's
right.
always things every year. There's something that this didn't not enough. This kind of director or that kind of a producer or whatever, and this year there's...
This year, the board for the Oscars basically told the Academy, and I think this was about 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
that certain categories were not going to be presented live, the nominations and awards
yeah.
live, and what they plan to do was to present those an hour before the telecast, and then they would edit the winners in, etc. And categories such as Best Original Score, Best Editing, Best Production Design, Live Action Short, Animated Short, Documentary Short, these types of things. And people... I don't know if costume design might also be in that in those one of
there's eight categories.
It's so wrong and controversial. Steven Spielberg argued against it. There was a letter of about 30 filmmakers, everyone from John Williams and James Cameron, protesting it because there is no above the line and below the line when it comes to cinematic experience and professionalism. Everyone's supposed to be celebrated equally. And the nominees and their spouses and everyone else who was sacrificed to work on a film, hours not being with your family, they want to enjoy the moment. It's enough that to be nominated, but then you might not win, but you still get to celebrate the nomination. And there's a feeling that that will not really be happening. And
well, it's interesting.
And this all boils down to the fact that the ratings for the Oscars for the last couple of years pre-pandemic were actually bottoming out. And
right.
as I mentioned at the top of the show, one of the things that's going on here, of course, the last 2 years specifically, is that people are not going to movies. And the distributors themselves have held back on films that cost a lot of money, because they had no audience going to the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that changed with Spider-Man No Way Home. That's a film that, despite all odds, took in close to $2 billion worldwide. And, of course, there are cynics that are saying, yeah, that also spread COVID. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, people went to that film.
And they went and saw No Time to Die.
Yep.
And now they're seeing The Batman, which has made over $600 million as of this morning worldwide. So people do want to go to the movies. I think now in the summer, people are going to want to see movies at the theater if the theaters don't start jacking up the prices. But the big thing is, this is a big transition year. Last year was a lousy year for so many reasons, and I just think that You don't do this. The reason for the Oscars is to celebrate the cinematic history of Oscars and the making of movies, and that's the bottom line. And if ABC says they don't want to show the Oscars, well, I'm sure there's someone else out there, another network that would.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. It's going to be interesting. Let's get to one of the songs. We're going to do three of the five.
Right.
And this first one is a non-English song, correct?
Yes, and there's actually an English version as well. But this was written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. The thing that's interesting is that audiences, however, have latched on to another song that was not nominated. and wonder why Disney did not put that into the mix as well. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But this is a beautiful piece, and it deals with loss and memory.
Dos oruguitas enamoradas pasan sus noches y madrugadas llenas de hambre, siguen andando y navegando un mundo que cambia y sigue cambiando, navegando un mundo que cambia y sigue cambiando. Dos oruguitas paran el viento mientras se abrazan con sentimiento, siguen creciendo, no saben cuándo buscar algún rincón. El tiempo sigue cambiando, inseparables son, y el tiempo sigue cambiando. Ay, oruguitas, no se aguanten más, hay que crecer aparte y volver hacia adelante, seguirás. Vienen milagros, vienen crisálidas, hay que partir y construir su propio futuro. Ay, oruguitas, no se aguanten más, hay que crecer aparte y volver hacia adelante, seguirás. Vienen milagros, vienen crisálidas, hay que partir y construir su propio futuro. Desorientadas en dos capullos bien abrigadas, con sueños nuevos, ya solo falta hacer lo necesario en el mundo que sigue cambiando, tumbando sus paredes. Ahí viene nuestro milagro,
nuestro milagro,
nuestro milagro,
nuestro milagro.
Ay, mariposas, no se aguanten más, hay que crecer aparte y volver hacia adelante, seguirás. Ya son milagros rompiendo crisálidas, hay que volar, hay que encontrar su propio futuro. Ay, mariposas, no se aguanten más, hay que crecer aparte y volver hacia adelante, seguirás. Ya son milagros rompiendo crisálidas, hay que volar, hay que encontrar su propio futuro. Ay, mariposas, no se aguanten más, hay que crecer aparte y volver hacia adelante, seguirás. Ya son milagros rompiendo crisálidas, hay que volar, hay que encontrar su propio futuro.
Let's get right to this second song that we have on our list, and it's called Be Alive.
Be Alive from the film King Richard, which stars Will Smith, and that's where he plays the father of the Williams sisters, the tennis pros,
Venus and Serena. Right.
And this is a song by Dixon and Beyoncé.
Never made with gold. We worked and built this on our own. And ain't nobody knock it if they cried. never made without. We fought and built this on our own. And can't nobody knock it if they try. This is hustle personified. Look how we've been fighting to stay alive. So when we will have
Steve, let's go to one of your favorite movies, I believe, anyway. You've been talking about this.
Yes, I'm a big fan of James. I'm a James Bond nut.
You kind of look like, you know, Sean Connery.
You know, God bless. I wish you. You can get your hit the optometrist.
Yeah, but he's got real hair.
Yeah, right. Hit the optometrist, Mike.
There you go.
But no, but I thought that not only was the score great by Hans Zimmer, and I thought Daniel Craig did a great job in the cinematography, the whole thing, but I thought Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas did a wonderful job capturing the theme, the heart of the movie with the song No Time to Die, which has been nominated and has won other awards. And
Grammys, specifically.
Grammys. And I'm just, yeah, No Time to Die is the next song that we're going to share with the audience.
All right, let's listen to that. George, I think you could pass for Daniel Craig, I think, a little bit. You know, your new look.
Yeah. If people have the right medication and you know, and the right glasses, you know, maybe 3D glasses. Sure, absolutely.
He's a black belt.
Yeah, there you go. All right. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
You bleed is just the blood you own. We were a pair, but I saw you there. Too much to bear. You were my life, but life is far away from fair. Was I stupid to love you? Was I reckless to help? Was it obvious to everybody else that I've fallen for a lie? You were no time. traces from my past return. Another lesson, yeah, to learn.
George and Steven Show is brought to you by... Now, that would be... That's Maalox. On television, right?
Yeah.
You guys are on television, correct?
We are.
Actually, we are.
On PBS, on Rhode Island PBS?
Rhode Island PBS, double feature, 8 p.m. on
Thursday nights. And it's our sixth year.
And I was privileged enough to be a guest one night.
Mike, honestly, you were one of the best guests we've had. I mean that.
I've never seen it. I've never seen it because we had a lot of calls came into that.
A lot of calls.
I'm sure, yeah. But at any rate, George Marshall is here. Steven Feinberg is here. We've been talking about the Academy Awards.
It was our most controversial show.
I'm sure that it was because I didn't keep my legs crossed. I don't know what that means. But
very
at any rate,
Sharon Stone.
Yeah, we will now get to something in the Academy Awards because George is shaking his head as Steven and I go back and forth. But you can't see that.
No, you can't. Thank
no.
God.
This is... Very visual radio.
We're going to now go to songs that are not, I guess. Well, what are these? We're not one of the five nominated best songs. What category
okay,
are we
this
in?
This is for cinematic history, American cinema history.
Okay,
it's the 40th anniversary of E.T. this year, and just also happens to be the 90th birthday of one of the greatest composers ever, if the greatest composer ever in, for film history.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady. John Williams.
Okay.
John Williams, also when he did the Lost in Space and Irwin Allen, was known as Johnny Williams.
Yeah.
But now it's John Williams. And he's turned 90, and he turned 90.
Yeah.
And... So this is a celebration. This homage of flying from E.T. is for John Williams in the 40th anniversary.
Let's give it a listen.
Thank you.
Well, another fun night of talking with George Marshall and Steven Feinberg. It's always a great time, and they're both geniuses at what they do. And George in the, you know, and putting together Flickers in the Rhode Island International Film Festival, which has been going for a long time.
40 years, believe it or not.
40 years, and
bravo.
And you're only 42, so that was an amazing start.
My mother is still shocked by that.
Right. But that we're going to have you back again when we have some events coming up this summer for Flickers. And
we'll be live. We've been hybrid for the last 2 years, which means a combination of like outdoor screenings and online screenings. But this year, we are actively planning to be pretty much like we were in 2019.
Excellent. So that'll take place later this spring and into the summer, and we'll tell you all about that later. And Stephen, it's great to have you with us. And you know, we get a lot of famous people that have come through the door. I've interviewed people like Dick Van Dyke and Conan O'Brien and stuff like that, but nobody quite as famous as you.
You have
all these things
oh
that you're
gosh.
Associated with.
Is that Jack Daniels over yeah. by your...
Well, you know.
I was going to say you need a shovel, but I think it's a backhoe,
right.
really.
Well, I will say this. The company, I so enjoy your guys' company, and it is honestly an honor to be around you and have laughs. We always have laughs together.
Right.
And to share the music and film that we love together.
And you know, it's great. I think all three of us are probably three of the luckiest guys in the world. I love my job. I know that you both love your job.
Very much so.
And
I love doing your job, Mike.
I don't think I'd like doing yours. I know that. Although, you know, having my name in the credits at the end of the Gilded Age would be nice.
Well,
but, you know,
that's a show that is very special to my heart. That was about 12-year odyssey to bring that show to Rhode Island from its inception, and something we're really proud of.
It's was filmed, well, mostly in Newport, right?
Well, it's filmed both in New York as well as Newport, and we did film a few days in Warwick at the Cloud Hill Museum, which I had discovered in 2005. At the time, Governor Kacheri's wife, Mrs. Kacheri, had put together a tour of Rhode Island for Rhode Islanders. I had just come back. And so we took these bus tours around the state, probably saw about 10 different places within a day. And one of the first one was Clouds Hill. And I retained that in my head. And so when the Gilded Age came, I said, I want to take you guys to Clouds Hill.
Okay.
And in addition to our beautiful preserved mansions in Newport.
Okay. All right. Well, Gilded Age is something that you can certainly be proud to watch. Season one is done. Season two is going to start filming.
Yes.
In a few months?
Yeah. Yes. We the second season was quote-unquote greenlit after the third episode by HBO, and you can watch it on HBO or HBO Max. And we begin prepping in April, filming in May, and in June.
Excellent. All
season
right.
Season two.
And George, we look forward to all the things that you're going to be bringing to us with Rhode Island International Film Festival. And we're going to wrap up with this last piece, right?
Right. And this is actually the opening theme for The Gilded Age. And written by two brothers, Harry and Rupert Gregson Williams. And what's nice about this, it's such a brilliant opening. It sets the tone for something that I think is really unique in Rhode Island. It's a quality piece, and I think we're going to see a lot of Emmy nominations coming for this series.
And I think one of the things you get a sense, one of the main characters, Mr. Russell, is involved in locomotives.
Yeah.
And you get that sense with the music. There's that sense of the train and things moving, and we are in transition. And that's one of the themes. It's the advent of electricity. So enjoy the music.
Yeah, it's all forward movement. And I think that's really exemplified by the brothers' themes.
All right. Theme is a little bit is nice and brief, gets right to the point. And that works out well because we're out of time. But look forward to seeing you again soon, hopefully, the both of you come back here to WCRI.
Thank you for the poolside visit.
Okay. We'll listen to this, and then we'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.